I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good evening. This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Maria Chalaos, and today for Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story this hour. The first case of the Omicron variant has been discovered in the United States.
It is a resident of San Francisco who traveled to South Africa, came back on November 22nd, had symptoms, and got tested this week. They're now positive for Omicron. Dr. Grant Colfax is San Francisco's director of public health.
And they did the right thing and got tested and reported their travel history. They had received a full dose of the Moderna vaccine, but no booster.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says with 40 million residents, it's not a surprise the first case in the U.S. was found here, but he believes Omicron is already elsewhere in the U.S. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
So what does it mean now that the U.S. has identified the first case of the Omicron? ABC's Andy Field continues our team coverage.
It will take several weeks to know whether vaccines or boosters work against the Omicron variant, now discovered in one person in the U.S. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that doesn't tell him much.
This is what we call in medicine an N equals one, which means that you really can't take anything away from a single patient.
That patient traveled from South Africa to San Francisco last week, has mild symptoms, and is in quarantine. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Here in Utah, it's not a matter of if the variant will get here. It's a matter of when. That's according to Jenny Johnson with the State Department of Health. She adds it can take weeks to sequence COVID tests.
The Utah Public Health Lab does a lot of the genetic sequencing in the state. PCR tests are the ones that we do genetic sequencing on. If you go in and get tested tomorrow and you're positive, you're not going to know if you're a variant or not. Like it doesn't happen like that. It does take a few weeks to often get those results back.
Meantime, Salt Lake City is closely monitoring developments with the variant.
I've been in touch with Dr. Dunn at the county and listening to the medical experts who are still advising us that the best thing we can do today to protect ourselves and our families is to get vaccinated, get the booster, and still wear a mask when you're indoors.
That is Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall. Utah saw nearly 2,300 new COVID-19 cases today. School-aged children made up just over 19% of those cases. State Department of Health is reporting 17 more COVID deaths, and 10 of those deaths were people younger than the age of 65. Utah State Hospital is going through a severe staffing shortage, and officials with the hospital say they are doing everything they can to fix it. The hospital treats the most severe cases of mental illness, including accused criminals who are not competent to stand trial. Superintendent Dallas Earnshaw says they actually saw a boost in their workforce at the beginning of the pandemic.
We actually saw an increase in our staffing right at the beginning of the pandemic. But after about 3 to 6 months, that changed drastically to the other direction.
Earnshaw says they have lost a total of 20% of their employees since the pandemic, but they are increasing their recruiting efforts at job fairs and colleges. Our top national stories this hour. A prosecutor in Michigan says the 15-year-old school shooting suspect from yesterday's deadly Oxford High School shooting will be charged as an adult.
There are crimes that the legislature has said are so serious that a person who commits them can automatically be charged as an adult. First-degree murder is the most serious of all those crimes. Second, there are facts leading up in the shooting that suggest this was not just an impulsive act.
Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald says four students were killed. One person was injured after a stolen car crashed into a house. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has that story.
Two men in their 20s who didn't have any weapons approached a woman in her car at the West Valley Costco. They demanded she give up her car. The woman complied and called police as the men drove away. As the men left the parking lot, they crashed into another car and then into a house. At least one person was transported to the hospital from the other car, and the two suspects ran away on foot.
Police are still looking for the two men who stole the car. A popular YouTuber from southern Utah is being charged with insurance fraud as prosecutors claim he charged AAA for tows that either never happened or shouldn't have happened. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Charging documents say one of the fraudulent tows was actually posted on Matt Wetzel's YouTube channel, Matt's Off-Road Recovery. Prosecutors say Wetzel towed a Polaris Razor off-road vehicle and charged that to AAA, but as a policy, AAA does not cover off-road vehicles. In another case, prosecutors say Wetzel told someone who was not covered by the insurance company to become a member, then file the claim for the tow after they did.
The charging documents say investigators spoke with Wetzel where he admitted the tows were wrong on the front end but fair on the back. KSL News Time, 5:05. It is time for First Look Traffic on the 5 o'clock report. Here's Ricky Meese.
In Murray, we have an accident westbound I-215 South Belt at about 3rd West, but it's completely out of traffic over to the right shoulder. It's right under the overpass, so it's not been causing any kind of delay. In Weber County, a crash westbound Riverdale Road at 1700 West. If you are traveling I-15 tonight, you are going to see traffic filling in and slowing down from just before 2100 South into downtown. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. Two Utah TikTokers just blew up a 51-year-old donation record at the Festival of Trees. JT and Brooklyn Laybourne helped raise over $50,000 for Primary Children's Hospital in honor of a 3-year-old girl, Jocelyn Ducarme. She passed away in September after being diagnosed with a rare and fast-growing cancerous tumor in her brain and spinal cord. The previous record for a single donation was $27,000. Tonight, BYU basketball plays against UVU. The BYU team is undefeated so far and is at number 12 in the AP rankings. KSL Sports' Mitch Harper joins me live. And Mitch, what can we look forward to in this game?
Well, it's a game where BYU is going to go down University Parkway and take on Utah Valley for only the second time in Orem. And it's the return of Mark Pope, who makes his first trip back to UVU since he left to become the BYU head coach in 2019. So it's a little bit of a homecoming for Mark Pope, who had his first head coaching stop at UVU.
What has Coach Pope said about playing his former team?
You know, he holds it dear to his heart his time at UVU because, honestly, without that experience, he probably doesn't become the BYU head coach. So it was very valuable what he accomplished in those 4 years at UVU is what he said yesterday. And I think he knows that it's going to be a rocking atmosphere tonight at the UCCU Center, you know, expected to be close to a sellout. And I think the UVU faithful are going to be looking to try and pull off an upset to keep it close against BYU because UVU is on a 6-game winning streak at 6-1 right now on the season.
Sounds like an exciting game. Thanks so much, Mitch.
No problem, Maria.
And you can catch a special pregame coverage of tonight's game here on KSL News Radio. That begins at 6, and the tip-off begins at 7. KSL News Time, 5:08. That means it's time for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com.
What's the wedding capital of the world? Now, before you say Vegas, hold on, because all the world over, people outside of Utah know the world's wedding capital is Provo. Yep, Provo. It's all because of the loophole of love. See, Utah County is the rare place where they do online weddings, but only the officiant has to be in Utah County. If a man in France wants to marry a woman in New Zealand and COVID regulations keep them apart, the answer is to get a marriage license from Provo, make an appointment, and an officiant at the county clerk's office is standing by to bind you till death do you part. So couples here in the U.S. and around the globe who've fallen in love online can zoom to greater heights with $85 and a strong internet connection to Provo, where a staff member at the county clerk's office will deliver a sermon about love, then declare you husband and Wi-Fi. It's all legal.
This will be everlasting love.
The county clerk's clerk never intended to become an online Aphrodite. But the New York Times reports the word spread via social media that a star-crossed lover, say, stuck in Slovakia with their betrothed in Botswana, could get the red tape untangled and marry sight unseen under the power vested in the Utah County Clerk. The only thing missing from the marriage is the hugging and squeezing and kissing and pleasing when you become husband and wife. And that's a problem. Immigration law will only recognize marriages that are consummated. You've got to prove you were in the same place at the same time for at least one night after the ceremony. And some of these 3,500 couples who've married via Zoom through Provo have never met in person. But that does not deter them, thanks to the online cupids shooting digital arrows from Provo.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Zions Bank, the official bank of the Utah Jazz. Delays for southbounders on I-15 in Salt Lake County. It's pretty steady and slow as you go from 4500 south down to 90th south. And then after that, you are right back to the speed limit and delays clear out. Westbound SR-201 also packed in and slow tonight between 9th West over to Bangor Highway. A little bit of busy traffic. This is going to be eastbound I-80 approaching I-215's West Belt transition. Michelle?
Well, we're looking at some slowdown southbound I-15 going through Pleasant Grove, a little more slowing southbound between Spanish Fork and Benjamin, where KSL traffic troopers reported there's some lumber in the road. Also, for drivers on Pioneer Crossing, the traffic's starting to build more between American Fork and Saratoga Springs. Steve?
It looks like southbound Foothill Drive still busy tonight between 13th South, actually just before 13th, out to about 21st South. If you're leaving downtown Salt Lake City on northbound 15, got a nice, easy drive all the way up into Davis County. Then just a bit thick there at Hillfield Road up to Antelope Drive. Southbound I-15 slow from Riverdale Road down into the Roy Sunset area. And southbound 89, a little slow through Uinta. Any hour services, electrical, plumbing, heating and air. Their technicians helped over 60,000 Utah homeowners last year. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. Here's Kevin Eubank with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Maria. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, hazy sunshine and temperatures in the low 50s. Once the sun drops, sunset's actually at 5:01, we'll see our temperatures drop into the upper 40s for 6 o'clock, mid-40s for 7, low 40s for 8, and upper 30s by 9. Ultimate lows will be in the low 30s under mostly clear skies. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
It's 46 degrees in Salt Lake City. Utah has a law that would outright ban abortions if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, but it only takes effect if the Supreme Court rules that states have the right to regulate abortions. Associate Dean of BYU Law School Justin Colling says the Supreme Court could rule to just change when a woman can get an abortion.
The Mississippi case law prohibits abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. And that's the law that's been challenged before the Supreme Court, and the court could easily uphold that law without triggering the Utah law.
But Colling says Utah has a separate law banning abortions at 18 weeks, so if the Supreme Court does uphold Mississippi's ban, then Utah's would presumably be constitutional, too. A FedEx driver is in a lot of trouble after being accused of dumping packages into an Alabama ravine at least six times. USA Today reports the Blount County Sheriff's Office identified and questioned a driver, and there could be as many as 450 people impacted by the dumped packages. Police say it's going to take some time to get all the parcels sorted, and they are asking for patience. In his first sit-down interview since the deadly onset shooting in October, Alec Baldwin says he never pulled the trigger. ABC's Jason Nathanson has the story.
It's a surprising revelation from Alec Baldwin sitting down with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
That and the first clip from ABC's upcoming primetime special Thursday night. Baldwin talked for 2 hours, clearly emotional, at times crying, apparently devastated over the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, killed by a bullet that came out of a gun in Baldwin's hand. We'll hear more of what he had to say Thursday night. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
76 years later, bombs from World War II are still detonating in Germany. Today, a bomb exploded at a construction site near a busy railway, injuring 4 people. The Associated Press reports unexploded bombs are still frequently found in Germany. Normally, the explosives are diffused or disposed of in controlled explosions. Trending on social media, it's back from the dead. Toys R Us will open a store at New Jersey's American Dream Mall in mid-December after its comeback was put off thanks to the pandemic. The new 20,000-foot location will be something out of a child's dream, equipped with an ice cream parlor and a 2-story slide. KSL News Time, 5:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah's trigger law would outright ban abortions here if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, but it only takes effect if it's deemed by the Supreme Court there's not a constitutional right to an abortion, not if they end up just making abortions legal after a certain point. I'm KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ayers.
Second, the U.S. has found its first case of the Omicron variant in the States. The San Francisco patient has mild symptoms. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot, sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Ricky?
That remains southbound I-15, where we do have delays. They're just steady, and they're in the usual spot, stretching from Murray at 4500 South to Sandy at 90th South. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Temperatures back in the mid-50s under hazy sunshine, and it looks to continue. I'm Kevin Eubank.
46 degrees downtown. Now time for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Health experts say it was only a matter of time a San Francisco resident who traveled to South Africa is the first U.S. case of the Omicron COVID variant.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says with the state's population of 40 million and the strong genome sequencing programs in the Silicon Valley that it's not surprising the first case of Omicron in the U.S. was found in this state. The patient is fully vaccinated but had not received a booster.
This individual is doing well, mild symptoms. The people that this individual came into contact have been tested.
It remains unclear if the variant actually is more transmissible, if it is any more deadly, and if it more easily evades vaccines. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Many colleges and universities are now requiring students to be boosted next semester. Murder, terrorism, and other charges for a Michigan teenager accused of opening fire in his high school, killing 4. Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald.
There's a mountain of digital evidence, videotape, social media, all digital evidence possible, and we have reviewed it. And absolutely, we are confident that we can show it was premeditation.
Ethan Crumbly was charged as an adult and moved from a juvenile detention center to the county jail. Police in Beverly Hills are looking for a suspect and a motive in the fatal shooting of philanthropist Jacqueline Avant in her Beverly Hills home.
The motives in this case are still unknown, and we are investigating all possible motives. And we will not speculate on anything that's out there, including if this was a robbery attempt or not.
Police Chief Mark Stainbrook. Avant is the wife of legendary music executive Clarence Avant. Stocks tumbled today. The Dow and the Nasdaq both closing down in triple digits. You're listening to ABC News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. Congress has 72 hours to decide whether to keep funding the government or go into a shutdown. Utah Senator Mitt Romney tells KSL's inside sources some senators might create a weekend shutdown in opposition to the vaccine mandate.
Well, I think it's pretty likely that there will be a continuing resolution, meaning we continue to fund the government at the current level, probably through sometime in January, maybe even through sometime in February. So it gives appropriators more time to find common ground in various spending priorities. I think that's likely to happen. I think Senator Lee has indicated that he intends to basically shut things down for the weekend in order to, if you will, underscore his opposition to vaccine mandates. And I agree with him on saying these vaccine mandates are not a good idea. But that I think is potentially in the cards, but will we get a continuing resolution done sometime in the next few days? Yes, and it'll keep government running through January or February.
Senator Romney says both sides are currently talking to come to an agreement soon.
We'll get there. I don't know exactly how we'll get there. The good news is that Senator McConnell and Senator Schumer are talking, which means maybe they'll find a process which gets there in a less troublesome, fraught way than we have in the past. But there's no question in my mind that we will honor our obligations and send out checks to people who are entitled to them.
Republicans in the House want McConnell to use all the procedural tools to deny a timely passage on the resolution as a protest to President Biden's vaccine mandate. You've been listening to the KSL In-Depth at 15 and 45, KSL News Time 519. Triple Team Traffic is sponsored by Zions Bank, official bank of the Utah Jazz. Ricky Meese, what's happening?
Delays on I-15 in Salt Lake County. If you are southbound, they stretch from 4500 to 90th South. If you're northbound on I-15 in Salt Lake County, it's essentially bogged down between 33rd South and downtown. Also delays westbound SR-201 between I-15 and the West Belt. Michelle?
Well, we're looking at slowdown southbound I-15 going from American Fork in spots down to Linden. More slowing as you're going through Spanish Fork headed toward Benjamin, where we have reports of some lumber in the road. For drivers on Pioneer Crossing, also a little busy in spots between I-15 and Redwood Road, Saratoga Springs. Steve?
And a nice drive right now if you're leaving downtown Salt Lake City out of Salt Lake into Davis County, I should say. Got a good drive all the way up into Latham. Then some slowdowns there at Hillfield Road up at Antelope Drive. Southbound I-15 a little busy at the I-84 split down through Roy and Sunset. Southbound 89 slow through Uinta from Skyline Drive down to the I-84 ramps. What exactly is SRE.com? Imagine your 15-year fixed-rate mortgage at 1.55% APR. That's SRE.com. Visit SRE.com today. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Let's take a look at the 7-day forecast. Here's Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Maria. Well, this gunky air continues. Valley inversions in place, moderately unhealthy air quality, and it looks to last for the next several days. Over the next couple days, we'll have highs in the 50s with lows in the 30s. Clouds will increase on Saturday and Sunday. Some south winds pick up Monday ahead of a storm that'll come in Tuesday. Look for some valley rain, bench and mountain snow, and that will help clear out some of the bad air. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
46 degrees in Salt Lake City. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 521.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Utah is a great place to raise families, but mental health issues, alcohol and drug problems, and child abuse are realities that impact our communities. Jocelyn De La Rosa, Executive Director of the Family Support Center, tells us about the help they can provide.
The Family Support Center is a tax-deductible nonprofit agency dedicated to strengthening families. We began in 1977 through a collaboration between the Junior League of Salt Lake City and the Utah Association for Children's Therapy. We now have 3 crisis child care centers in Salt Lake Valley providing emergency nurseries for children under the age of 12. If a parent or guardian is feeling overwhelmed or doesn't have a safe place to leave their child, they can use our safe, well-staffed locations completely free. In addition to crisis child care, we also offer LifeStart Village, which offers stable housing for single parents and their children. And we also provide reduced cost therapy. If an individual needs mental health care but is uninsured, we are here to help. Sessions are as low as $10 per visit. We also provide parenting education, support for single parents, and connections to resources within the community.
If you or someone you know could benefit from services, or if you would like to make a financial contribution this holiday season, visit FamilySupportCenter.org. Your support can make all the difference. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, speaking on business.
Now at Siegel Book, season 2 of the acclaimed series, The Chosen. Own the global phenomenon that is changing tens of millions of people one episode at a time. The word is spreading that Jesus is the Messiah. Increased fame brings growing crowds, new disciples, and more miracles. But it also brings trouble. The Chosen, season 2. Save $5 on the 8-episode, 2-disc DVD set, only $24.99. Live inspired for less at Siegel.
Hi, this is Doug Wright, and I have got great news for those who thought they missed the Black Friday promotion at Intellibed. The good news is it continues on through Monday, December 13th, with 15% off any size Intellibed signature mattress with the gel matrix. That's what delivers that firm and soft sleep at the same time. And how about a free bedding accessory bundle with the purchase of that signature Intellibed mattress? Two gelled microfiber pillows, one bamboo sheet set, one Prime Terry mattress protector, and free shipping. That's a total value of over $1,000. And don't forget, too, that all of the bedding accessories at Intellibed are 25% off. They are perfect for holiday gifts. Right now, the sale continues. Black Friday goes on through December 13th. Fashion Place, University Place in Orem, Riverdale next to Olive Garden, Logan. And you can simply drop by at Intellibed.com and get these same great deals. Intellibed.
This weather.
Into the 50s we go here along the Wasatch Front.
It's not gonna last. When winter weather hits in Utah, it hits hard, and we all need to be ready. That's why you have KSL Weather. Every 10 minutes on the nines, mornings and afternoons on KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 525. We are watching Utah's money. Facebook has reversed its long-standing policy to ban cryptocurrency ads. The move comes after the company failed to launch its own cryptocurrency intended to send money across the world using its platform. KSL Drives, U.S. car sales continue to fall. Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, and other car companies saw sales fall for a fourth straight month in a row. A fan favorite is making a comeback at McDonald's. The holiday pie dessert is returning to select states. So far, Utah has not made that list. Holiday pie will be available until early January. On Wall Street today, another bad day for the markets. The Dow closed down 461 points to end at 34,022. S&P 500 fell by 53, and the NASDAQ dropped 283 points. Are you a jet or a shark? Either way, it's time to get excited about the new West Side Story.
The first reactions are in for Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, and one name is getting a lot of attention.
I want to be happy here.
Newcomer Rachel Zegler takes on the starring role of Maria, and at the film's premiere this week, she said this is an updated version with a classic feel.
The conversation about gentrification has been opened up vastly, and I think that's such an important part of our film, while also maintaining that charm of the original musical with all of that music and the dancing and the sweeping score.
West Side Story getting rave reviews. It'll be in theaters December 10th. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.